placed in a pretty powerful position. And to say he was in that position and committed is an understatement, because he was a eunuch. But we talked about that a little bit. I'd never really thought too much about it. But here's where it started. Here's where it started. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. That's how it started. Because right there it says, and he arose and went. He arose and went. He didn't debate about it. He didn't think about it. He didn't say, well, I don't know that he was talking to me. Maybe he was talking about that other guy, or maybe he, no. He says he arose and went. And right there, that hit me. Because that eunuch was a person in a position of power. What I don't know is after the eunuch was saved, does it mention that same eunuch anywhere else? Not that I'm aware of. But we don't know the influence that the eunuch had on all these other people. But I guarantee you, he got saved and he got baptized, and I guarantee you he influenced a lot of other people, especially from a position of power. So no matter who you are, everybody needs a Lord. And he got up and went. He got up and went. So when the Lord tells us to do something, that kind of hit me pretty hard. I need to get up and went is what I need to do. Someone else with a testimony. Amen. Y'all singers ready to sing? Get her done. Get up and went. That's what it said. Get up and went.
Jessica sent me a text, I don't know, a few days ago. I'd been bad on the crud, whatever, and wanted to know if I'd be available for tonight. And during all this, I had a first cousin passed away last Monday. He got up 1 o'clock to go get ready for work, felt, I guess, tightness in his chest, breathing hard. Collapsed. His wife did CPR till the paramedics got there, and he died on the way to the hospital. He was ready to go. He and I were the same age. In fact, he would have been 59 next month, so I was a month older than him. But he passed away, and we attended the funeral Friday, and it all went well. Like I say, he was ready to go, and that was the main thing. But you pray for his family. He had a brother and another brother and two sisters. One lives in Texas, and I would probably say they're en route back home right now. So you all pray for our family.
What page?
Oh, looks like 236.
Y'all have heard of the Bowtie Quartet. This is the Hurricane Quartet.
By that, he means the wind just blew us together.
I seen him here this morning. I thought about Frank yesterday, but that's all I did was thought about him.
It had to be good if he's thinking about me.
Anyway, he showed up this morning, so the Lord knowed what was going on. And Steve, you know, he's about like a hurricane. You don't know where he's going to be. He'll either be out in Colorado bow hunting or shooting a bow or whatever. But I asked him this morning, and
Charlie just walked right into it. Wrong place, so, wrong time.
Anyway, y'all pray for us.
I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And then a little light from heaven filled my soul. It made my heart in love and wrote my name above. And just a little talk with Jesus made me whole.
Now
let us
have a little talk with Jesus.
Let us
tell him all about our troubles.
He will
hear our faintest cry,
and he will
answer by and by.
Now when you
feel a little prayer will turn him,
and you
know a little fire is burning,
you will
find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. I may have doubts and fears, my eyes be filled with tears, but Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I go to him in prayer, he knows my every care, and just a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus.
Let us
tell him all about our trouble.
He will
hear our faintest cry,
and he will
answer by and by.
Now when you
feel a little prayer will turn him,
and you
know a little fire is burning,
you will
find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, shall come with shout of acclamation to take me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Then I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to how great thou art, how great thou art.
I got a testimony. Has the Lord been good to you? Sing much anymore. I got this thyroid thing going on. I squeak and scratch and squawk, and I make a joyful noise, and that's about it. And we was up here trying to find a song to sing, and I told one. Well, I told all of them. I said, as much as they paid to get in here tonight, they're going to get just what they paid for.
You didn't change
so
your mind.
That's what you got.
Bless him, Lord.
You told me life's railway to heaven.
Amen.
Oh,
bless
him,
wonderful. Lord. See these guys together.
Yes, it is.
I mean,
I haven't seen anybody walk out yet.
Not yet.
So,
we two or three more. I'm sure.
Let's do a couple more, and maybe we'll get somebody. There goes somebody
running. Holding their ears back there. But what are we doing now? Are we doing a new?
Yeah, let's do this a little bit. 77.
Did you change it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The pianist is always the last to know.
You have to slow this one down, Pam.
That's what he says.
Yeah, 77.
77.
Yeah. Oh, come angel band.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
Let's try it again. I can hear you.
Yes.
That's because we're not A. We're not A plus.
Missed it.
My latest sun is sinking fast. My race is nearly run. My strongest trials now are past. My triumph is begun. Oh,
I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be.
testimony. Bless him, Lord. Amen.
Good job, y'all.
Has the Lord been good to you? He's been real good to me. I don't deserve a thing, but he's been awful good to me. Awful good to me. Amen. Someone with a testimony. We won't tarry long. Amen. Well, you've had good singing. There's been good praying. Now we're ready for the good preaching.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Mike, you didn't have another song, did you? Nope. Aaron, you come. Aaron, while you come, Greg Bailey, if you would, if you don't mind praying for the preaching, I'd appreciate it. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Teach our hearts and lead us and guide us, Father, and make us into the Lord stronger with us in Jesus Christ. All hearts free. Bless you, Lord. Galatians chapter 5. Isn't God good? Remember, we had special prayer this morning, and both of them were answered. And we just want to thank the Lord for that. Anybody else? I want to start reading on verse 16, if you'll turn in your Bibles. Verse 16, fifth chapter of the book of Galatians. I'll try not to keep you long, and I'll try to make it simple. And anything that comes from me is going to be simple, because I'm a simple person. I mean simple, simple. I thought, I want to share this. This tonight I'm going to be talking about the flesh and about the spirit. You can live either way you want to. You can live in the flesh or you can live in the spirit. And I thought this past week I had to, I went to a funeral of a young man who, probably wasn't 3 weeks ago, we called him to come to our house to do some work for us. He was supposed to come on a Wednesday, and his mom called back and said he's sick, and he's starting to swell. And so she said, "I'm going to try to get him into the hospital." And Friday, she finally talked him into going, and doctor started talking to him, and they said this. They said, "If we drain the fluid, you can have up to 6 months to live. And if we don't drain the fluid, you can have up to 3. And I thought of that, and his reply was this: "I've done this to myself, so I want to go home." He went home, and a few days later, he went into a coma. They took him to the hospital, and he came out of it, and when he came out of it, he said, "I want to go home." He was telling his mom, "I want to go home." He knew his time was close, and he said, "I want to go home." So they took him back home, and his mom asked him, he says, "Have you made everything all right with the Lord?" Now, he lived a fleshly life. He lived to satisfy the desires of the flesh. 44 years. But he was raised. Sometimes we think, you know, bringing our kids to church, it's not, you know, it's not worth the hassle. But here's a young man who in his last hours gave his heart to the Lord. And he assured his mom, he says, "Everything's all right, Mom. I'm ready to go." And she said, "What would you like to have to eat?" And he said, "I'd like to have a pancake." So she made him a pancake and he ate it, and then he laid down on the bed. His mom went in and laid down beside of him just, you know, to be near him and comfort him. And she said as they were laying there, he raised his arms up towards heaven. And then he dropped them. And then he died. He didn't make it 3 weeks. See, the doctors told him he probably had 3 months, but he didn't. He had 3 weeks. But I thought of that, and I thought, you know, he was a great guy. But he got into some bad things. He was had a good heart. He was a hard worker. But he was trying to satisfy the flesh and what that flesh wanted. And you know, we have this problem in our society today of drugs. And they're wanting to supply what the flesh wants. They want to feel good for a little while, but there comes a point in time when that all comes to an end. But I thought of that, and I thought of this this scripture here, and beginning in verse 16. Paul writing to the church at Galatia, and this is what he said: "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Now, there are things that your flesh is automatically going to want because you're in the flesh. But I began to think of that the battle, and Paul referred to this several times about the battle between the flesh and the spirit. And I thought, you know, if you were talking about the spirit, Timmy, come up here and help me a minute. I'm going to use Timmy as the spirit. Now, stand right there and face me. He's my spirit. He's going to take care of me. So he's got his hands out here to take care of me. And you know, I believe the spirit is right like that every day in our life. I believe he's standing right next to us, and he wants to take care of us. And I thought, you know, and it says, and not fulfill the lust of the spirit. I mean, lust of the flesh. If I listen to what he tells me to do, Pastor Al talked about him. That spirit, if I listen to what he tells me to do, I'm not going to want to do the things of the flesh. Now I'm going to give you an example of what the flesh is going to do. You can stand right there if you would. I didn't wear black for purpose, but I did, I guess. It works out good. The flesh is pretty black, isn't it, when you get to thinking about it. But I thought, you know, here's how the flesh will take care of Aaron. And you know, the flesh will tell you a lot of things. It'll tell you you don't feel like doing something. It'll tell you you don't need to go there. You don't need to do this. And you don't need to do that. And the Spirit will always encourage you. He'll say, what was that? Get up and went, right? Get up and went. Thank you, Tim. But that's about as simple as you can put it. The Spirit wants to guide you. He wants to direct you. and he wants to help you. Not just every now and then, but every minute of the day. So I can look to the left, or I can look to the right, but I know that he is there. It says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And I thought as the guys were singing, I thought we were going to have a fight in the pulpit. You know, they got their songbooks in there. You know, they're back and forth, and they're trying to decide which page. Then they don't even tell their piano player what book she's using. But I thought, you know, there was a battle going on up here. And you know, there's a battle. It said here that the flesh lusteth against the spirit. Anytime you try to do right, the flesh is going to try to get you to do this the opposite. And the spirit against the flesh. So he's fighting back for you. You say, the spirit won't fight. If he didn't fight, we wouldn't be here tonight. I'm thankful that he'd take over. And he says, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. There's a contrary. What's that word mean, contrary? How many in here are contrary or have ever been contrary? Mike's pointing at Brendan. Brenda's pointing at Mike. There's a fight back here. There's a contrariness there that's going on. But there's a contrariness going on when the Spirit, and you've, through the years, you've probably seen the Spirit sitting on one shoulder and Satan sitting on the other shoulder. And, you know, both of them's talking to you. But who are you going to listen to? Who are you going to listen to? But here he says, but if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Now I made a list of what these were. And I counted the works of the flesh. When you hear the word works, what do you think of? Or work. When you think of work, what do you think of? Physical labor. Your job. Something that you always, you know, there's a task at hand. If you have to go to work, you know, oftentimes, and I think in today's society, that word has become a dirty word. Because people don't want to work. And I thought, you know, so they think of the work of the flesh, something that's not easy, something that's a task, something that can be hard for you. But when I looked at this list, I took it right out of this verse coming up here. And it's it says, now the works of the flesh are manifest. Now, what does that word mean?
Obvious.
They're just manifest before us. They stand before us. It was obvious that Tim was what when he stood right here? He was protecting. He was concerned about me. And it was obvious when I was over here, what was I concerned about? Nothing much, was I? Had my feet propped up, and that's the way the flesh does you. The flesh will do. But here it talks about the works of the flesh. And there are 17 of them listed. 17 just right here in this scripture. And right at the end of it, when it describes it, it says, and such like. What do we use today in a sentence if we mean goes on and on? What's the sign? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We put an ETC there so that it goes on and on. But here it is, and this is just some of them. Now, I worked on these definitions, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them, but I had a doctor and a psychologist helping me do this. And I felt privileged that they were there helping me. But I want you to think about it. We're talking about the flesh. The first one is adultery. Is that a work of the flesh? It is. I mean, the description of it is involves sex and sexual infidelity. The fact that somebody is married when adultery takes place. And what does adultery do to you? What does adultery do? It condemns you, but the woman in the scripture that they caught in the act of adultery, what was it going to do to her? She was going to be stoned to death. But who came to the rescue? Jesus did. And profound words that he said that day when they were standing around with the rocks in their hands. He looked at them and said, "Let ye who is without sin cast the first stone." And what happened? They dropped the rocks, didn't they? Dropped the rock. Because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But adultery is a flesh sin. It's a sin against the body. Now, it goes on to fornication. Is that a fleshly sin? Right along the same line, except it's people who aren't married. People who are out of wedlock or unmarried that has a sexual relationship. Now we go on to uncleanliness. Uncleanliness. What's the first thing you think of when you think of something that's not clean? It's dirty. What's the other word?
Stinks.
It stinks. I know you're talking about Brian, but I didn't really want you to get personal here.
Unsafe.
Immoral. Who said that? That's the boy that stinks over there. He saith that. Impurity. Unclean, impure. And when we get saved, what happens to that uncleanliness? It's washed away. Is it washed away with lye soap? Borax? What washes our sins away? The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus can take something that's black, wash it in red, and it becomes what? White as snow. Isn't that something that... But here we go. These are flesh works. Lasciviousness. Who's got that one down? It's a sexual lewdness. Just pretty much, I can't read my word there. I was talking to a doctor and I was writing like one when I wrote these down, so I can't read my, what'd somebody say? Unbridledness?
Unbridled lust.
Unbridled lust. Pretty good definition of it. All right. And again, what does that satisfy?
The flesh.
Satisfies the flesh. Adultery. How would you describe adultery?
Adultery.
Okay, these guys up front are doing pretty good. Anything you put before God can be an idol. In the scriptures, what were the idols that we read about? You know who made the golden calf? Aaron did. That's where I got my name from. It is where I got my name from, but not necessarily for that reason. But anything that you put before God can be an idol. And then most of those things that we put before God are what? They're selfish things. They're that fleshy things again. And it's important that we realize when we do this, hey, we need to... What about witchcraft? What did he say in Ephesians? We wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, but what? Principalities and powers and evilness in high places. Do you all see any evilness in high places today? Yeah, I mean, it's there every day. You just see it. So, but these are things... Why do people do wicked things? Charlie? They're trying to satisfy the flesh or do something to get even or whatever. And there's some words down in here that go along with that. What's another name of witchcraft in the Bible?
Sorcery.
Sorcery. Sorcery. You remember different ones dealt with that. Even if you go back to Moses, remember God telling him what to do with Aaron's staff? He said, what? You toss it down, and what's going to happen to it? It's going to become a snake. When you pick it up, it'll come back to a staff. There were witchcraft going on there. There were sorcerers there who did the same thing. So, what's this works of the flesh trying to do in that particular situation?
Keep you in bondage.
Keep you in bondage. That's right. It'll keep you in bondage because, you know, it's taken away from God's deliverance. God wanted to deliver him. He wanted to show him he was in control. But here it was. You know, they came up with the same thing. Now, let's move on here. Hatred. Where did hatred start in the Bible? Garden of Eden? Garden of Eden was such a pleasant place. A place that all they had to do was go out and eat of the fruits of the trees and whatever God had there for them. And all they had to do, what was their first job in the garden? To name the animals and just take, you know, just keep an eye on them, watch out after them. I love animals, and I love being around them. Can you imagine a job that would have been any better than just walking through the garden, reaching, getting you an apple or an orange or something, and then walking over and petting a lion or a tiger? But you can imagine, that's what God had in store for us. But what took it away? Man's desire of the flesh. When the woman saw the fruit and decided it was okay. And then Satan came along in the form of a what? A serpent. You know, the serpents used to always crawl up like a cobra did. You know, all the snakes, they were beautiful animals and they crawled. How many in here think snakes are beautiful animals today? God said he would put enmity between my seed and your seed. So what does a snake have to do now? crawl on his face. He crawls on his face, and what's man's desire when he crawls by? Kill him. Some people like snakes, but I'm not one of them. But here we go, and he says, hatred. There is enmity between man and woman. Between man and God, because of the sin of the flesh. So what was the judgment upon man right there in the garden? What was that? He was to spend the rest of his life working. There's that dirty word, work. He had it made and decided, hey, you know, my flesh is so weak, I want that apple or I want that fruit that Eve took pride of, so I'm going to take a bite of it too. Could Adam have stopped that right there? What did he do wrong? What did he wrong, guys? What did he do wrong? Listen to the woman. It's simple there. It's very plain. But listen, what would have happened? What if he had, well, I don't guess he could have put his pants on at that point in time. Huh? All he had to do was just take charge of the family. That's man's job, is to be spiritually responsible for your family. All he had to do was step up. And he can said, okay, Eve, now you know what God said. And you ever think about that? How would it be different today if Adam had been the man that God made him to be? How would it be different today? But I thought, you know, he just let it go. But it was that flesh. It was the works of the flesh that caused the problem from the beginning. But let's move on real quick. Variance. That's listed as a work of the flesh. Variance. Contentious. Discord. I like this one. It says inconsistent. What does the Bible say about God? He changes not. He's the same today. He was the same yesterday. And he'll be the same when? Tomorrow. So here we have variance. There's a song that says, "Can he depend on you?" And I've often wondered that, you know, he comes down one day and says, Timmy, I want you to do this. Can he depend on you? Or what's going to happen on some days? The flesh is going to talk you out of it. The flesh is weak. One scripture says the spirit is willing, but what's wrong with the flesh? It's weak. It's weak. But here we have variance. We have inconsistencies. We have change. You know, the last, I don't know, several presidents that we've had have run on the topic of change. But there's only one change that America needs to make. And that's to turn back to God. And let Him lead. Let the spirit lead instead of the flesh. These men get in positions, political positions, and they're there. A lot of them are there. They're making a lot more money than what they make in office. So what are they there for? They're there for power. They're there for prestige. And those are all fleshly desires. Emulations. Now, if anybody gets this one, I'm going to give you a gold star tonight. Since I built the gold idol, I can give you a gold star. I'll make you a gold star.
Well, that's the same thing as envy and jealousy.
It's a competition. Okay? Is it okay to be competitive? But in this situation, what's this competitiveness wanting you to do? Outdo who? The guy sitting beside of you, the girl sitting beside you, your neighbor down the road. My neighbor down the road got this, so I'm going to get that. Even though I can't afford it, I'm going to get it anyway because I'm not going to be outdone by him. That's emulation. That's a desire to surpass whoever has something that you think you might want. A desire of what? The flesh. A desire of the flesh. The next one is wrath. What does the scripture say about wrath? Don't do what? Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't let the sun go down. What's that mean, you think? Settle things when? Before the sun goes down. That's right. Take care of it that day. I worked with a fella. He said, I always go to bed at night. This has been several years ago. But he said, I've always remembered, don't go to bed mad. Whatever is going on between you and your spouse, you need to work it out that night before the sun goes down. And I thought, you know, how profound that is, too, because if you don't work it out, what's going to happen? You won't be able to sleep. You get up in the morning, how are you going to get up in the morning? You're going to get up mad, hateful, and just, you know, these are all works of the flesh, but they can simply be worked out. Strife. Again, go back to the quartet. I thought they were having strife tonight. So now what have we got? We got strife and we got blaming one another. Okay? So strife is anger too, and it's a bitter conflict that's always going on. How do you feel when you've had strife with somebody? Strife stresses? Yeah, you're back to emulations. You're plotting against them. Bad attitude. It's not gonna help anything, is it? It's just gonna create more problems. Seditions. You're rebelling against the government who's over you. And what does the scripture say about the men who are over you? Pray for them. Pray for them. Last Sunday morning, we had prayer on behalf of the president. Franklin Graham had sent out word that he asked all the churches to pray for the president, pray for our military. We have a young man here that every time in the service, he'll always say, "Remember the military." How young is that young man? 39. Now we need to pray for him for lying. See, we got it just all comes around.
We ain't got to that one yet.
Yeah, we haven't got to lying yet, but we'll get. So that means you're about 105, something like that. So you're rebelling against those people who are in charge of you. Have you looked at these countries who rebel against their leaders? What's happening to them? There's always turmoil. They're always in the street throwing firebombs or fighting against the authorities. But when you look out at their families, what's happening to their families? They're starving to death. So It's pretty plain what, I mean, and there are bad authorities in the world. Don't get me wrong. There are people who are leading their people in the wrong direction. Heresies. Heresies. Huh? Okay. A click. What's a click?
When you separate
yourself
from others.
Yeah. Well, not so much maybe better, but you're always judging each other. You know, you're always saying, well, you know, back there's Phil, and he's sitting beside that guy that stinks. Now, Phil's done told us that, so we can believe that. We know that that's true. So Phil stands and he says, this guy stinks. Okay, and Greg and Debbie, they're sitting over there too, and they're saying, amen. They're sitting over there saying, amen. But you know, now Phil has formed a clique. He's got Greg and Debbie and himself. Of course, Brian's not in that clique. He's in another one. But heresies. It's saying something and really not having backup for it. What's the, there's the word I was getting ready to ask for. What is gossip? Yeah. What's close to gossip as far as the word goes? I'm thinking of another word on the other side. Gospel. What is gospel? Now, gospel would come from this side over here where Timmy is talking about the Spirit. What does that gospel tell us? It's the truth. And what does gospel mean? Good news. Good news. If I was sitting behind Phil, and I know I'm riding this, but I love getting on Brian. If I'm sitting behind Phil, and he turns around and tells me, Brian took a bath last night. So he's changed from heresy, he's changed from a click, he's changed from what? Good news. That's good news. But what is the good news that the four Gospels talk about? Jesus Christ, His life, His birth, His burial, His resurrection. That's good news. And that's what we don't need to be spreading heresies or gossip. Envyings. Go back to the Ten Commandments. What word there would you say talks about envyings? Covet. Thou shalt covet thy neighbor's wife, his donkey, everything he's got. Is that what it says? Thou shalt not covet. When we're coveting somebody else's stuff, what are we doing? We're not taking care of our own. We're looking at somebody else's. And that's important for us to realize. Paul, when he wrote a verse that said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Where was he when he wrote that? He was in prison. He was in prison. Now we're sitting here tonight. Nobody had to have a police escort to get here, did you? Nobody got escorted here by the police, did they? Or brought in by the police? Huh? Roberta? Sorry, Roberta. Yeah. You notice how quickly they pointed you out, too. I mean, that was just... That was a heresy, wasn't it? Right off the bat. But envyings, coveting. Wanting what someone else has got and not paying attention to what you've got. Another place in the scripture talks about, he says, you know, you who have a beam in your eye. And what's a beam? I'm going to ask Brian again. He's in construction. Do you know what a beam is, Brian? What size is it? We like that definitive answers that he's giving us now. Yeah, probably in this time he was talking about the wood beam. And he says, ye who have a beam in your eye, how are you going to get the mote out of your brother's eye? What is a mote? It'd be like a speck of sawdust. So you who have a beam in your eye, you can't see anything, that thing sitting on your head, how are you going to judge somebody else? And he's telling us we don't need to be doing that. We need to take care of what we got. Murderers. Is there a different way of killing people? Okay, you all just killed Roberta a little bit ago. And I didn't hear a shot fired. What's the biggest thing that kills people today? The tongue. It's unbridled. It's dangerous. And once you say something, what happens to that? Can't take it back. So what should we do? We need to bridle it. We need to take time in what we're saying. We need to pray about things before we say them. We need to seek help, you know, in making decisions. So, And I think in this scripture, he's probably talking more about the tongue than he is to actually kill someone. Scripture says that what was one of the forms of killing people that they had if they thought you did something wrong? We talked about the adulterers. Stone them to death. Okay? What did Saul do when he was out on the road? What did he do to Stephen? Had him stoned to death. Scripture says he was standing there holding his garment. And we talked about this too, but what did Stephen do? He did just exactly what I told you that young man did earlier this week. He lifted his eyes toward heaven. I've heard a lot of stories about people passing. And if they're ready to go, they're pointing and looking. My great uncle, my dad, said he watched him do that. He had been a Christian most of his life, but when it came time to go, he said, "Do you see him? Do you see him coming?" That's the confidence you can have. And that's what Stephen did. He said, "I see Jesus." He was just like the Spirit here. What was he doing? He was standing. He was standing at the right hand of the Father. And I believe that touched Saul's life there. But it's important for us to realize anytime you want to take life from somebody, whether by the tongue, whether by the gun, whether by the knife, or whether by just anything you might do, that's a lust of the flesh. That's a work of the flesh. And that will never... I'll quickly move on here. Drunkenness. I think I may have shared this with you, or shared it with the class last week, but Susie and I drove over to the cemetery where my mom was buried, my sister. And as we were driving along, I was telling her through the years, I saw one laying in the ditch there bleeding. I saw one laying in the middle of the road there, raised up in the middle of the rain. I saw another one laying there drunk. And we stopped and got him and picked him up. And I wasn't very old at that time. And I may have shared this before, but we put him in the back seat. And here I am, probably 10 years old, And I got a guy that we found laying beside the road in the car with me. You know what I began to do? I began to tell him about Jesus Christ and how he could take that drunkenness and that sin out of his life. And I'll never forget that, because I was surprised when my dad stopped. But there were people standing looking everywhere and standing around, and nobody was doing a thing. And the only thing he asked him when we got him in the car is, "Where does he live?" And they even knew where he lived, so we took him home. But I thought, you know, drunkenness, it will never satisfy the flesh. It will for maybe an hour, but they go on. But real quickly in closing, it says revelings. Revelings is rioting. And we watch that from time to time, the riots on the TVs. Things that are happening even in our own streets now. And the last thing it says there in that particular part in that scripture, and such like. Can anybody tell me what such like is? They just go on and on. There's that et cetera. And such like will take place in their lives. No, I think that's another one for it too. I wasn't going to talk about excessive eating. I guess I need to confess my sins tonight before you. But I thought, you know, when you think about work, and I'll quit here. I was going to go on, but I'm going to quit right here. There's a lot going on. There's a lot going on where people are trying to satisfy the works of the flesh. And the works of the flesh will do what? They'll destroy you, and they'll never satisfy you. They'll never satisfy you. Maybe next time I'll get into the rest of it, but I'm going to stop right there. And it says, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Now, I want to close with this one remark. The which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do the thing, those which do such things, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. These things will cause you to miss eternity with the Lord. They won't cause you to miss eternity. You'll miss eternity, but they'll cause you to miss eternity with the Lord. So as Christians, we need to watch. As we went down through there, I hope you're not practicing these things, but I know they come into our lives. So it's important for us to realize what they are. And we need to look to that Spirit that will direct us in a way that we should go. As we get a song of invitation, if there's a need in your life tonight and you'd like to come and pray about it, remember, those that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. As we stand, as we sing.